Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the love of God is for us. God loves us. Everything he do is motivated by his wonderful love, guided by his wonderful wisdom. And we all know that God is holy. So everything that he do is holy. And every person on earth, he loves. Those are standards that don't change. When people do things according to worldly measures, the Lord has to deal with it. His justice demands that he deals with it. But he loves the person and he gave us grace, so he will go as far as he can in grace before he acts. And we saw this with Nineveh. Jonah got there just in time to tell them to repent. They had 40 days. Even, you know, they were running out of time, and the Lord did miracles to get Jonah there so that they would have 40 days. Sometimes repentance takes more than one moment. The word has to travel from place to place. When the king gave the order for the fast, he gave that decree. Nobody could eat, no animal could eat until, and they were supposed to pray. And the word had to get out there. And remember, Jonah began, and on the first day he started saying that in 40 days, judgment will fall. God will judge the earth. I'm using my memory when I say that. I'll look it up to be certain, but that gave people time to hear and respond. See, the Lord, he thinks of everything. And as we trust him, we begin to think of it, of all things as well. And the Lord loves people sincerely. And he set this thing up so that people could hear and believe. God was sincere about them repenting. And he knew what it would take to help them do it. And the Lord said he sent a prophet that they would hear. And the Lord does everything correctly. And it worked. And they repented. And even Jesus commended them. He said, "This the people of Nineveh repented at the teaching of Jonah." And then he said, this generation wouldn't repent. So the Ninevites would judge them. See, they were very wicked in their way. And they didn't do what they were supposed to. Here it is, Jonah chapter 3. And the word, this is verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That was his message. That's an easy message to remember. So he went throughout Nineveh saying these things. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them, that's why I included the king, even to the least of them. This was a national joint effort. For the word of the Lord came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. You know, if we could repent like Jonah, I mean, if we could repent like Nineveh, we'll be all right. If you repent like a Ninevite, you did something. That means you rejected your old nasty ways. And the Lord loves us. And the focus is not on that. It's on God's response to what people are doing. God knows that we have a death end. if we don't repent. So he sent his only begotten son to die for us. Then he sent preachers to proclaim the word so that we can believe the word and act on it. And then he sent prophets to show us how, what's going to happen, and so that we can make a judgment. And if we judge ourselves, we can be excluded from the judgment that God's going to send. And we'll know what to pray for. We know how to, our goal is to help other people see him and to get people saved. And for the church, the primary goal of the church is for us to be one, connected to Christ. We need to be one in him. Just like the Ninevites were one in their repentance, we need to be one to receive what the Lord has to say. Believing on Christ, seeking the Lord through Christ, we need to be one with the will of God. And all of us, our goal should be that all of us are one to do God's will. And the Lord will show us how to win souls. That's the best way it's going to work. And people, we can be so used to doing things the way we do them. But I'm telling you, I know you want to use your spirit, soul, body, might, and strength to serve the Lord with. But the way you do that, the way you be effective, is to go in prayer and do what God says do. Use your energy better. You use your energy better when you do it God's way. You may want to do something a certain way. You may have a good idea that's better than nothing. But if you present what you want to the Lord, he can tweak it. And you will win souls. See, if you're bearing fruit, the Lord will purge you and you'll bear more fruit. And I learned these things. I learned to trust the Lord. I was thinking this morning how it was when I first got started. I didn't always trust the Lord. I thought I did, but I didn't. If the Lord told me to do something, I would lean to my own understanding more than his. But I've learned over time that when you do that, you miss out on things that you don't have to miss out on. And I'm not trying to sound humble. That's just the way it is. The more I seek the Lord and draw near to him, the more I learn. And I see that I'm just a part, a piece in a much greater plan that he's already doing. And the more equipped I am to serve that plan, the more he gives me to do within that plan. And I thank him for it. I don't want it any other way. I want it to be just like what God wants. And I started confessing with my mouth that I will do all this in his heart. I pray it. I confess it often. At the end of every broadcast and when I teach, I always acknowledge the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It still amazes me. And I know God is doing some great things. We're going to love the way it turns out. And people love to debate and prove their points when it comes to eschatology, the end, you know, Revelation, how it's going to go, whether it's pre-tribulation, rapture, the way I was taught. No rapture. Some people teach that. That will be a rapture, though, because Jesus mentioned that the angels are going to take us off the earth. And then the post-tribulation rapture and the mid-tribulation rapture. I promise you this. I suspect that God has this thing situated so he can do it any way he needs to benefit the most people. So don't use the rapture as a trump card. If I had a choice, I could go to heaven right now or stay here and work. My choice right now would be to stay here and work, because if I'm here, I can do more for God. And I know the risk of being on earth. There are temptations and things like that, but I'm not afraid of those things. I want to be here as long as I can to do his will. I secure my life by saying that I will do all that's in his heart. And also, I reject what Satan says. And I hate his will. I hate Satan's word. I hate what's in his mind. I hate what's in his heart. I hate his ways. I hate everything he does against the people of God. And I do. We have countermeasures. We don't have to rush off to heaven just so we won't get sucked into the vacuum of the world. We don't have to feel those things. God loves us. But we use the countermeasures. You got them. Use them. Fill your heart with the word of God and cooperate with him. You're going to be fine. And God is going to build you up. He's going to bless you in every way there is that you could possibly be blessed. He's going to help you go forward. You're not going to lose. You don't have to give in to the temptations of the world anymore. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to consider it. You just reject it. See, our repentance, real repentance, is rejecting the world and all that is of it. It's not just turning away, it's rejecting it totally. It's to be disgusted over it. It's to be disgusted at it. It's to hate it. It's to loathe it. It's to wish it didn't exist. And I'm not talking about the sins that you can turn from. I'm talking about all of them. The anger, the strife, the forms of greed. There's so many forms of greed. The attention-seeking, pride. That's the worst of the worst. Pride, hatred. And then, see, pride causes hatred. Pride causes people to be the opposite of who God is. When I fell in love with the ways of God, sometimes I thank the Lord just for being God. I said, Lord, I'm so glad you exist. I'm glad that you're the head of all this. And you're doing something against the evil that we see. And also the evil that we don't see. And it's a blessing that we really don't see the evil that we can't see. But the Holy Spirit will teach you what really is. He'll teach you the things that, as you can receive it, he'll teach you things that you need to be aware of. And then I learned in my latter years, don't leave anything to happenstance. Don't give it a chance. Don't give sin, the leaven of sin, a chance to form. Attack it. Kill it in the microscopic stage. Don't let it become visible. Don't let it become obvious. Don't let it become mature. That's the word. Don't let it become mature. Don't let it get a hold of you. Don't let it become a consideration. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Don't let it kill it while it's, if you can think of something evil, kill it. Don't let it become don't let it grow to the point that you consider it. And you're going to be fine. You're going to love what God does and how things turn out. Fully yield to the Lord. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy what he has to say. Enjoy his love. Enjoy his majesty. It's good. It's good for you. It works. You can do this. Everything that's of God, you can do it. And everything that's not of God, you don't need it anyway. Everything that's of God, you can perform it. You can do it. You can enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy the things of God. Because God loves us and he's for us. Now, as we go forward doing the things of God, seeking his ways, learning his ways, doing his wisdom, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Never work. Don't do God's work. Do your work. I'm not saying don't work for God. I'm saying don't do his part. Let God do his part. He does the planning. He does the guiding. We shouldn't touch that. We should respond to what he gives. If we have a good idea, present it to the Lord and ask him where it fits. Everything that you have can be utilized. I'm a preacher. I'm also a mechanic. I like to lift weights. I have interest. I like to ride motorcycles. The Lord can take my motorcycle and help me win souls. He can use my when I lift weights, keeping my body in shape. He can give me more time on earth with good health doing that. I can sleep better at night. I can age better. I can be more useful for the kingdom of God. He can use everything. Give what you have to him. If I do it wisely, sleep enough, eat right, and exercise, God can, he can legally give me more time to do his will. And I can do it with greater energy. And I'm a mechanic, a technician, actually. And there's nothing on the car I can't fix except rebuilding computers and radios. I don't rebuild them. I can solder something if I see it, but programming I don't do. But I can do many things to a car, paint them, rebuild engines. And I do that to buy radio time. Everything that you have can be used. And then I can pray and cause and ask the Lord to help all those radio broadcasts to go wherever he want them to go. See, we serve a God that's unlimited. He can take my puny radio broadcast on an AM station. I'm not like other people have radio stations all over the continent playing at the same time. It's not nationally syndicated through radio, but every radio broadcast is on the website. And every broadcast, I advertise the website. So if the people of God will hear it and say, hey, I'm going to share this with my cousin, they can send their cousin a text to my a link to my website, which is free, and they can download it to their phone and listen to it whenever they want to listen to it. And then they can do, and when they receive a broadcast, they can give it to somebody else. See, when you put something in the hands of God, don't doubt against it. Believe that God will use it. If he was motivated enough to send Jonah to people that he knew would repent, and he also knew he had to judge them, he's motivated enough to cause people to transfer radio broadcasts, website broadcasts, YouTube broadcasts. And when I hear other men of God on YouTube or whatever, I send them to people that I think would like them. I know people's personality, and if it's real interesting, I'll send it to them. Some people don't really like it. Some people do. If they don't really like it, I don't. I go by the Holy Spirit, and I think that people know I'm trying. And you know, some people may be annoyed by all these broadcasts I send, and some people they love them and they watch them. So I try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Whatever you do, you want it to work. But the Lord has a way to break the ice with people and help people see him. Never doubt what you can do in him. You can do all things through Christ. That's our heritage. The Lord he's done more than just given us a life insurance policy. He's given us a heritage. He's made a way for us to operate just like he does. And when you hear something from the Lord and receive it, get a hold of it. Grab hold of it. Learn all about it. Ask him to teach you. Ask him to give you wisdom. Ask him to help you see it in a greater way. And he will. And you're going to love what happens. Now, as you do these things and you grow in the Lord and you change from glory to glory, take people with you. Pray and ask the Lord who to send a broadcast that you found out about or a revelation that he's given you. Ask him to help you share it at the right time with your people. See, timing is also important too. The Lord, he knows how to use time. He knows how to time things. But before he does all that, and you know, when it's time, act. But while you're waiting, tell Satan that he can't hinder the people. And when you send it to them, remit their sins. See, I learned that from Henry Gruber. When you remit a person's sin, all the guilt, the weight and guilt of their sins, you lift it off of them so that they can operate without the weight of that sin on their shoulders. And then you pray God's will on their life. And when they receive, they may be in a more receptive state of mind and heart. Remember, the word of God is sown in peace, so sometimes you have to create peace with people. when they do you wrong, when they cuss you out, whatever, don't respond in the same way that they do. Seek to mend the relationship. People know sincerity when they approach with it. And then once peace is created, live the life of God before people all the time. And when peace is created, then minister when the Lord releases you to say what God needs you to say. And the Lord has done that for me. And, you know, I have friends that I want to share things with, but the timing was off and I wouldn't say anything. And then I waited and I said, Lord, I really want that soul to go to heaven. I believe that they'll love you. I suspect it. I said, help me say whatever I can at the right time. And then, see, you yielding to the Holy Spirit. He knows the person intricately. And the Lord will set it up for you to say whatever need to be said. And it'll be in seed form. Don't doubt against it just because they don't respond as fast as you think they should. They're going to respond the way they want to respond. If they have a good heart, they will respond. If they love the world, they may not respond. But at least you did what you could do for them. And throughout all eternity, they'll remember it. They'll remember that you cared about them, that you tried. See, we walk around believing some things that the world don't always believe. And it can be a burden if you let it. But you don't have to let the future of hell be a burden to you. It's down there. I loathe the thought of somebody falling in it that I know. And it's hard for me to handle. I used to get very emotional and try to make things work. But I found that's not the way to do it. Some things you have to yield to the Lord. Let the Lord handle it. And I learned that I'm more effective in helping people see their way out of darkness if I yield to the Lord. Or I can frustrate myself to the point that I can't enjoy my own life. Yielding to the Lord is the answer. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We do need the might. I confess that I have the might of the Lord when I need it. The wisdom of the Lord when I need it. The knowledge of the Lord. All the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I have access to it. And when I need it, I ask the Lord to... I speak words to be in agreement so that I can receive what he says. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does his job and people don't do their job. The Holy Spirit will give them what to say. And they'll do something different. He'll give them what they need to know and they'll believe something else. Or he'll show them what to do and they'll do it that way anyway. And that won't work. You can't, you know, you got to get out of that. That won't work. Follow God. You're going to be fine. You're going to be enhanced. Your knowledge is going to be increased. We have to learn to trust him. And then we can serve him better. And I love the Lord. God knows I love him. He helps us out. He helps us go forward. I love his word. I love his will. I love his ways. And I'm not going to allow the evil of this world to intrude against my life. I'm going to do all that's in his heart and enjoy every moment of the day. Because God gave me life, he gave me peace, and as I obey him, I have great joy. Living the life that God has given us is the key. Doing what he said do is the way to go. Everything that he does works. And the more I trust him, the more I want to trust him. And the more I say, well, what's next? What's going to happen? What else am I missing out on? What else can I be made aware of? What else can I cherish? What else can I learn? And you learn things that's just over the top. And it's wonderful. People are going to live because of you. Because you introduced them to Jesus Christ, who gave us life. He's the author and finisher of our faith, which means he's the author and finisher of our life. God gave us life. He helped us have access to it through his blood. The blood of Jesus. It washed me white as snow. When you fall in love with God after being washed in the blood of Jesus, you don't want to sin. You would rather eat dirt than sin. But the mind has to be renewed and the body has to be bridled. Remember, when you fall in love with God, all of your cravings, all of them, all of your cravings can become just as saved as you are. You can desire what's right on purpose. And, I mean, you can desire what's true on purpose at your own will. You don't have to go walk around desiring the wrong thing. If you desire anything that's not of God and it's got a hold of you, fear, like my pastor said, fear you, as you study the word of God, demons will fall off your life. Their influence will die. Because you're putting the word, you're going by the word of God. You already want to do right. And when you have the word, you're nourishing your will. And that was the difference between the five wise virgins and the five foolish. The five foolish, they just won't study the word. And they become compromised. And God can't take compromise to heaven. They'll start doing naughty things and justifying it. When people start justifying naughty things, they're done. How you going to come back if you like something? How you going to depart from something that's got a hold of you and you like it? It'll take a strong anointing to break you free from it, and you'll have to have enough sense at that point to fill your heart with the word of God. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. And I love, that's a good scripture. I had a pastor say, we don't have to pray that. Yes, we do. If you have an unrenewed mind and you begin to do wrong, that's the perfect prayer. That's the perfect song. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of my heart. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. You can thrive in the joy of his salvation. Now I'm going to tell you, God is more than just restoring us out of our compromise. Compromise can become a thing of the past. There's no limit to how strong you can become in him. Once you have enough word to walk away and reject sin, you can always go back and ask the Lord to teach you. That's what I do. I ask him to teach me how to hate it more so that it'll never have a chance ever again. And I can thoroughly enjoy my relationship with the Lord without distraction. See, when you don't have those distractions, you can consider greater things. And that's why I went from surviving to standing to thriving. And while I was learning, the Lord taught me why things are going good. That's the time to learn. And I started paying attention to greater things. And the Lord alerted me to greater things. And I love it. Now I thank him for it. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. No limits. You don't have limits anymore. Forget about limits. You serve an unlimited God who can take your puny efforts and multiply them to thousands of thousands. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.